Bible, please turn with me to the book of Acts, Acts chapter 28. The book of Acts, chapter 28. I'd like to share with you tonight the first 10 verses. The first 10 verses of Acts, chapter 28. Let me read. Now when they had escaped, they then found out that island was called Malta, and the natives showed us unusual kindness, for they kindled a fire and made us all welcome, because of the rain that was falling and because of the cold. But when Paul had gathered a bundle of sticks and laid them on the fire, a viper came out because of the heat and fastened on his hand. So when the natives saw the creature hanging from his hand, they said to one another, "No doubt this man is a murderer, whom though he has escaped the sea, yet justice does not long to live." But he shook off the creature into the fire and suffered no harm. However, they were expecting that he would swell up or suddenly fall down dead. But after they had looked for a long time and saw no harm come to him, they changed their minds and said that he was a god. In that region there was an estate of the leading citizen of the island, whose name was Publius, who received us and entertained us courteously for 3 days. And it happened that the father of Publius lay sick of a fever and a dysentery. Paul went in to him and prayed, and he laid his hands on him and healed him. So when this was done, the rest of those on the island who had diseases also came and were healed. They also honored us in many ways, and when we departed, they provided such things as were necessary. 5 weeks ago, before I left for China, the night before I went, I talked with my daughter, my little daughter, 7 years old. I told her that I would go to China. So she asked me, "Dad, will you take an airplane?" I said, "Yes." So she asked, "What if the airplane got crushed?" The children's question can be surprising. I said, "Oh, it will be good, because Dad will immediately go into heaven." And then she asked me, she said, "Dad, what if you don't die?" I said, "Oh, if I won't die, probably I will be seriously wounded in an airplane crash." So I said, "Probably I would be in a hospital." So she said, "No, Dad. What if you crashed and landed onto an island?" Oh, her question can be so tough, you know. The children's question can be very tough. I don't know how to answer that question. I didn't know how to answer at that moment. Then I remember, I told her many Bible stories, including this story of Paul in Acts 28. You see, we never think, we never expect those things would happen. Even we are missionaries, even we go into missions, we may never expect that we will experience an airplane crash. That seems not what God's people will experience. But we see there, Paul experienced something like this. He was in that stormy sea. His ship was wrecked. And he bumped onto a small island. First, I'd like to talk a little bit about the background of this story, of this book. This is a book of mission. This is a book of a Holy Spirit. After the resurrection, our Lord Jesus Christ called all his disciples onto a mount in Galilee and proclaimed to them, he said, this great commission. The Lord said to his disciples, all authorities in heaven and on earth have been given to me. Go, therefore, and make disciples of nations and baptize them in the name of the Father, in the name of the Son, and in the name of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I commanded you. Behold, I am with you always, even till the end of the age. The Lord Jesus there set up the goal of mission for us, for all the Christians, all the believers, for all his followers there on the mountaintop after the resurrection. Here is our mission, our task. Here is the goal of mission. Go into the nations and make disciples in the name of the Father, of the Son, of the Holy Spirit. And then before our Lord descended into heaven, there on another mountain, Mount of Olivet, Jesus told his disciples before he left, he said, you shall stay here in Jerusalem. You would receive the power when the Holy Spirit come upon you, and you shall be my witnesses in Jerusalem, and then in Judea and Samaria, and then even to the end of the world. The Lord not only gave us the goal of mission, but also laid out a careful, a detailed plan for us to go. And that's what we see in the book of Acts. In the beginning, the gospel was witnessed there in Jerusalem. And then the gospel was extended to the surrounding area in Judea, in Samaria. And then, even furthermore, by Apostle Paul and others, to the surrounding nations around Mediterranean Sea. We know that three mission trips of Paul. And then by the end of the book of Acts, we see this man, Paul, carrying the seed of gospel. Even though he was in bondage, he's going to the great city of Rome. He's going to the end of the earth, that great empire, Rome. And we know what happened behind him, the stormy sea. In that storm, all the people on the ship were despaired. They think they would surely die in the sea. But the Lord strengthened Apostle Paul, and he told them, don't worry, the Lord will save me, and the Lord will save your lives. And there, the stormy sea has passed behind Apostle Paul. When he got onto this island, in front of him is the great city of Rome. It is unknown empire, this great Roman empire, not a religion in Jerusalem, not a still small voice in Jerusalem. Would that still small voice be heard by people, by the citizens in Rome? There's a lot of uncertainties there, we can see. On that small island, the Lord was preparing this great apostle. Even he is such a great man. He is like us. We are human beings. We have our weaknesses, even Apostle Paul. The Lord wanted to prepare Paul on that island before he entered into the great Roman Empire. to preach the gospel even to the end of the earth. Here in this text, I'd like to share three things. The island, the hand, and the sheep. A small island, a wounded hand, and a broken sheep. First, the island. The island there. When we think about the island, it always seems to be small, even though we know there is big islands. But normally, islands are small. In our minds, islands are remote, in the remote area. Islands are always cut off or isolated from the mainland. And there Paul was in such a place. And we know later he will went to Rome. He will be also in a similar situation like an island. An isolated place. This Apostle Paul would be under house arrest. And later he will be in the Roman prison. You think of a Roman prison. It will be even worse than the island. It's totally cut off. It's totally isolated from people, from our world. Have you ever think if you go on a mission trip, and then you are isolated in some place, how can you accomplish the work was put onto your shoulder? And we know Apostle Paul experienced that. Not an isolated island, but also an isolated culture there in Rome. We know that as missionaries, as missionary work, every time, like we go to China, me is okay because I am still Chinese. Somehow, people won't regard me as Canadian. But think about Pastor Bob, or maybe Pastor Muller. They will immediately recognize him. So he cannot go to church on Sunday morning. Pastor Bob many times shared with me, he said, the most difficult thing for him in the mission field is on Sunday. He got no place to go. He has to stay in the hotel, in the hotel rooms, isolated. He missed home, missed the church family, missed God's people. You think about those missionaries. They went into a foreign culture without knowing the language. Without knowing the culture, it's definitely isolated. How can you do in that kind of situation? How can you do this great commission in an isolated area like this? But we know later Paul went to Rome. The way was opened. We know this situation, this frustration, this depression was experienced not only by Paul, not only by us as missionaries, but also even by our Lord Jesus. When he was betrayed that night, the disciples left him. Those who loved so much forsake him. And left him. Even his Father in heaven turned his face away from this beloved son. What an isolated situation there on the cross. Can you imagine? He cried out, my God, why have you forsaken me? But not only that, he was killed. He was buried into that lowly, into that deep, that cold, dark, lonely place called grave. And there he was locked in for 3 days. totally cut off. Totally cut off from everything. He knows our heart. He knows Paul's situation. And he knows our situation on an island, or in the prison, or in a foreign culture. He knows that. He understands the loneliness there. He understands the depression there. How come? How come the Blessed Trinity seems to be separated? How come? The Son would be separated from the Father. How come? The Gospel tells us it's for us. Because we are cut off from God. Because of sin. Sin has separated us from God. But not only that, sin has separated us from one another. You know there, in Babel Tower, on the Babel Tower, man was separated, have different languages because of sin. And now we are doing the reversing work. The Lord Jesus is with us. He experienced that loneliness, that isolation, that depression for us, that we may not be despaired. He's there. I believe there in the grave, in those 3 days, his heart was not despaired. His heart cannot be despaired because he knew if he should despair, we will lose all our hope. Whether we are Apostle Paul or Peter or any missionaries in the mission field, we will surely lose our heart. We will surely lose our hope. We need to turn to Him. If we don't look to Him, if we don't know that He is there with us in the loneliness, we will surely despair. Apostle Paul knew that the Lord was there. On that island, Apostle Paul knew that the Lord Jesus was there in Rome, in that prison. Because He has promised, I am with you always. I am with you always. Secondly, the hand. This is what we see here in this story. As they climb onto the island, the weather is kind of gloomy and doomy. Cold and rainy. You can imagine their feeling there. So upset. They lost everything. But the natives were very good and welcomed them and the kindled a fire there for them. Apostle Paul also gathered some sticks. As he gathered sticks, there is a viper came out and fastened onto his hand. That's something scary. The Bible clearly says that was a viper. It's not a garden snake. It's a poisonous creature. And those natives knew. Immediately knew that. But Apostle Paul shook off him into the fire. Suffered no harm. Even they waited for a little while, didn't see any harm. That reminds us, in the mission field, we always have enemies. You know this cold-blooded creature? It doesn't like heat. When we preach the gospel to the people in the darkness, the enemy won't be happy. Satan, the cold blood creature, won't be happy. That's why we're always talking about persecution in the mission field. That is a constant thing there. not only physical persecution, not just the persecution from the government. It includes any kind of persecution in every level from any aspect. Satan, we see that, he seeks all the opportunities to attack us. We, as we step into the mission field, we knew that is the enemy's territory. The enemy knew. The enemy won't be happy. The enemy will seek chance and opportunities to attack us, to persecute us, to hurt us, to defeat us. This is the real spiritual warfare. As we go to the mission field, this is the real. The enemy is real there. You know that. You heard so much about persecution. But the persecution is not just physical persecution. There is many other kinds of persecutions you won't be able to imagine. Sometimes even come from the church, even come from the people you are ministering to. It can be very hurting. It can be very dangerous. It can be very serious. It's just like this viper fastened onto our hands. Scary. Painful. Really painful. Maybe you still remember 4 years ago, you heard the news that Pastor Bob was in India and he was bit by a small mosquito. And 7 days later, he traveled in Beijing. He's supposed to teach in Beijing. And he got so sick there. I still remember on that Sunday, I was preparing to go to the nursing home in the afternoon. I received his phone call from China. I heard his voice is so low. He said, "Gong, can you help me to reschedule my itinerary, change the tickets? I can't do it. I got the mosquito bite. I think that's dengue fever." A small mosquito. It was scary. It can be very serious. But praise the Lord, He is with us. He is protecting us. The Lord is with Paul, with us, protecting Paul, protecting us. We knew that. Because the one who was hurt, was wounded, were not just Paul and many other missionaries, but also our Lord Jesus. And there he was on the cross. His hands was also bitten by Satan. His hand was also pierced onto the cross. Fastened onto the cross. We can never imagine the pain there. We think as we go into the mission field, experience some kind of persecution. But we can never experience, we can never imagine the pain there on the cross. The nail is piercing into the hand. How come the Lord of all the universe seems to be defeated by Satan? Why is that? It is all for us. Because we are sinners. We are defeated and ruled by Satan, and our Lord came into this world to save us. He came into this world to defeat our enemies. There on the cross, He held the nails. There on the cross, He bound Satan. That's why Apostle Paul could shake off the viper from his hand. Because Jesus absorbed all the poison there on the cross. That's why Apostle Paul could suffer no harm. Otherwise, he would surely die. It's all because of our Lord Jesus. He bears the pain. He absorbed all the poison. He suffered death that Paul may not suffer it. But the most wonderful thing is not only the suffering, but the victory. You see, in the second part of the story, the same hand was hurt, was wounded by this viper, was performing healing there on that island. The same hand, did you see? The same hand was wounded, hurted by this serpent, was performing healing miracle. And we know that it was not Paul. That was the hand of Jesus Christ, our Lord. The hand was pierced on the cross. The hand was poisonous on the cross, was performing healing even to this very day. Even to this very day. And now we are the hands and the feet and the body of Christ. We are broken. We're bearing this mark of cross. As we step into the mission field, we know our Lord has conquered all the enemies. We shall still suffer persecutions, difficulties, the enemies. But in all this, we are more than conquerors. We are more than conquerors. We should have enough confidence to face all the world. As Apostle Paul was fully prepared there on that small island to face the great Roman Empire. And today, we too. We are like Paul. We are no less than Paul because we also have our Lord Jesus with us. And in us, we are the body of Christ. We are His hands and feet. We can also perform healing miracles to the nations. To the nations. That is a glorious thing for us. We need to be confident. Even we know there is a lot of challenges. Even Paul knew that in Rome, he will face fierces. He will face all kinds of challenges. And even himself would be martyred at last. But he knew that this broken, this wounded hand is able to perform healing. To bring the gospel, to show the power of resurrection. This is the blessed hand. This is a healing hand. And then thirdly, the wrecked ship. We know as Paul bumped onto this small island, the ship was totally destroyed. And all their belongings, all the food, were lost. They got nothing left. Can you imagine your pastor went to Philippines on the road and he lost his luggage? He lost his passport? He lost his purse? Can you imagine? What can he do? That's was what happened to Paul. Apostle Paul lost everything there. In missions, so often we talk about raising funds. We do need funds. We do need money to buy tickets to go. But most of all, what we need. You see, even we have all this, we can still lose them. We can still fear that we don't get enough resources to go. I still remember my geese. He shared something with me. He said his kids growing up, he was talking with other pastors and missionaries, thinking if their kids should also become pastors, become missionaries. And then he heard something like this among those kids. The kid said, "Why you want to be a missionary? Missionary is not a good job and not a good career. Missionary is just a beggar." I know that was very hurting to Mike. That was very hurting. Missionaries had to go forth to spread gospel, and so often had to come back to share with the churches, to respond. They are really like beggars. It's true. We feel so often embarrassing to share, even to ask. But I know that the Lord Jesus also in a similar situation. He is the owner of all the universe. He has all the wealth and inheritance of heaven. Yet when he came into this world, he came into that lowly place, a manger. He said, "The Son of Man has no place to lay his head." When he was nailed onto the cross, his garment, his tunic, was divided, was rocked by other people. He was stripped naked there. He lost anything. You see, he lost everything for us. He even became a beggar for us. That way, as sinners, we are spiritually bankrupt. We have no room there in heaven. It's all for us there. He suffered this loss. There on the cross, he suffered so much that we may gain heaven in Christ Jesus. I think I would be bold and confident to be a beggar, not for myself, but for my Lord. He, for me, even willing to become a beggar, even willing to suffer that shame on the cross, stripped naked, that I may gain all the heavenly wealth, all the inheritance from the Father. We shall be confident, knowing that the Lord will provide. By the end of the story, there you see, when Paul about to sail, those natives provide all the things that necessary. Is that amazing? He lost everything, and there, when they restart the journey, everything was prepared there. It was prepared by the one whose name is Jehovah Jireh. The Lord will surely provide. The Lord will surely provide. We shouldn't worry. We should know that our God has all the wealth in heaven. He is able to provide. And he is willing to provide. We shouldn't worry about the fund, the financial support. We should keep our eyes upon Christ Jesus, always there, and we will be encouraged. We will be encouraged. Now I know how to answer my daughter's question. Now I know the answer has already been given, has already begun. You look into the previous chapter, chapter 27, verse 2. When they left Caesarea, when they set out for this journey, there is a particular man was mentioned. We know there are probably many other co-workers with Paul, at least the author of this book, Luke. But the Bible didn't mention anybody there. He mentioned one particular man. This man was from from Macedonia. His name was Aristarchus. We don't know this man too much. Even you check in other places of the New Testament, we really don't know too much about this man. But the name is very interesting. This is a Greek name, means the best ruler, the best prince. Did you see? The best prince, the best ruler was with Paul on that journey. But not only this man, Aristarchus, the real ruler, the real best prince, the prince of peace, our Lord Jesus Christ was there with Paul on that journey. When he was on the sea, the Lord was there. When he was on that small island, despaired, the Lord was there. When he was in Rome, this best prince, the prince of peace, our Lord Jesus Christ, was there. So now I can answer my daughter. I won't worry, even if my airplane gets crushed onto an island. Remote, cut off, even have no any human being there. I know my God, my Lord, is there with me. He has promised, and he will surely keep his promise. In ourselves, we have no confidence, but in him, we have full confidence to go forth to conquer all the enemies, to gain all the nations for the Lord, for his name, for his glory. And I believe here in this congregation, there is Dr. Luke. I know in this congregation, you have Timothy, Barnabas, and you also have Aristarchus, the best prince there in this congregation. As we go forth to the mission field, you are also with us. I give thanks to the Lord that we are never alone. We have not only our Lord, but also have our brothers and sisters with us on this journey of hope, on this journey of victory, on this journey of glory. We are such a glorious people in this world. We need to be bold to proclaim the wonderful gospel of Jesus Christ, even to the end of the world. He is worthy to be praised. And we have this burden on our shoulders. We have this great commission to fulfill. Thus, all about it. Today, we are on this journey. We shall go by faith to glorify our Lord, our God in heaven. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you that you are so faithful. You keep your words from eternity to eternity. We can take your word and go forth. We know that you have promised that you will be with us even to the end of the age. We thank you that your name is Emmanuel. God is with us. We pray, Father, that you may revive your churches here in Canada. We pray that you may revive your people here in this congregation and in many other churches. Father, you know your people's heart. You know that in many times we are frustrated. We are despaired. We are defeated. We are hurt. We are wounded. Father, we look up to you. We know that there is power on the cross. We know there is living power in the resurrected Lord Jesus. We pray, Father, that you may encourage each one of us and give us hope. Give us hope to face all the uncertainties, to face all the challenges, to face all the difficulties. Father, rally us around our Lord Jesus Christ to do a good work for you, because you are worthy to be praised. Is there any other thing in our life so beautiful? No. The most wonderful, most beautiful thing is that we can dedicate our life to God, to our Savior. Father, it is so beautiful. You have ordained all these things happen in our life, and you will surely carry on and fulfill all this in us. We thank you. May your name be highly exalted in our lives. We trust you. We know that you are the God of Emmanuel. Be with us all. In Jesus' name, amen.